Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you ever fasted from eating so intensely that it gave you stomach problems down the road? Have you ever stayed up for hours on end telling somebody every little impure thought you've ever had, every angry inclination, or any little imperfection? Because if you didn't, you feared you would be condemned to burn forever. Have you ever feared that God hates you, so you must scrub the floors, do the dishes, and work insanely hard so that God would know you have sacrificed enough to be worthy of forgiveness? Have you ever walked for thousands of miles in the hope that by doing so you would be just one step closer to being saved? Have you ever paid thousands of dollars to have a sense that your dead relatives would be taken care of? Martin Luther did. Over 500 years ago, he was a monk living in fear of a wrathful God who was not easily appeased and said to show little mercy to even faithful Christians. Luther would confess, pray, fast, work, and do acts of penance for hours and hours on end, more than any of the other monks around him, and he would still not feel that God loved him. He was a sinner who could never appease God's demands for confession and repentance. No matter how hard he tried, he struggled to trust that a righteous God would ever forgive a meager sinner like himself. He believed this because the church told him so. His whole life he was taught to believe that God is righteous and full of wrath, demanding more and more and more from us every day. The content Christian was said to be a spiritually lazy one, unworthy of Christ's forgiveness, because they were not sufficiently repentant to receive his mercy. The church said that God had given the Pope and all of his men a rule book for how to live the perfect and righteous life. Yet nobody could ever measure up to these rules. So many suffered under the weight of what they perceived to be God's wrath. For Luther, the law-based, incessantly repentant living that the church expected of the faithful led to near spiritual insanity. He would confess his sins all through the night, leave the confessional, then turn right back around because he had forgotten one little iota of sinfulness that he felt he still needed to get off of his chest. He fasted like crazy, believing that the pain he felt in his belly was nothing compared to the pain of hellfire burning all around him, a punishment he believed he would endure in the afterlife if he did not punish himself in this world. He went on pilgrimage to Rome, not only to travel and see the holy sites of his church, but also because he was told that by doing so, he was journeying closer to heaven itself. Quite the tourism campaign, if you ask me. Traveling to Rome is literally walking on the road to heaven. But when he got there, he found rampant prostitution, manipulative icon and relic peddling, and people trying to buy and sell their way into heaven. Instead of finding a holy place of prayerful contemplation, Rome turned out to be a place where sin abounded and salvation could only be had at a price. All of these experiences of the church's teaching and practice left Luther with an unbearably heavy burden that could not be lifted, no matter how penitent he was or how close to the Pope he traveled. Then he read God's word for himself. In it, he found the true gospel that had been obscured by misrepresentations in church teaching for centuries. Specifically, he delved into Paul's letter to the Romans and discovered that our Lord was not full of unappeasable wrath, but shows grace and mercy towards a broken world. Luther had believed that he was a special kind of sinner, condemned by the laws of God that he was unable to keep. Then he read words like this from the third chapter of Romans. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and it is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not just Luther or Paul or Saddam Hussein or any other sinners out there in the world throughout human history. All. Every single one of us would need to confess for hours on end like Luther did over 500 years ago. And none of us would get even close to clearing the slate of our sinful hearts. Thankfully, though, we don't have to. In the words of Paul, we are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In these words, Luther not only found his salvation, he found his freedom. He was freed from the weight of the laws of God that constantly bore down on him with crushing intensity. He was freed from having to try to act perfectly repentant and righteous, even though he knew he never could be. More importantly, he was finally free to simply love God, trusting that God is gracious and merciful. He was finally freed to realize that God is not full of wrath towards us, but overflowing with mercy. For the first time in his life, he was free to love his friends, neighbors, and family without fear of screwing up and sinning against them too. Because he knew that if he did, it did not matter. It did not matter that they loved each other perfectly, but simply that they worked to love one another as God first loved us. A year ago, we celebrated Martin Luther's infamous act of nailing his 95 theses against the sale of papal indulgences to the church door in the city square of Wittenberg, where he lived. He likely did not intend for this simple action to go viral like it did, but printers published these statements and they sold out almost immediately. So they printed more and more and more, selling out nearly every time. A year later, Martin Luther had a lot to be afraid of. His ideas had spread like wildfire on a scale that nobody had seen since the fall of Rome 900 years earlier. This made Luther a marked man of the church, a problem that the church could most easily deal with by throwing him in prison or even executing him to keep him from questioning their supposedly unquestionable authority. But Luther was not afraid of this new danger, because it was nothing compared to the extreme weight of the spiritual burden that had been lifted from him when he encountered the true gospel for the first time. For him, to be hung to death, beheaded, or burned at the stake like so many heretics had been before, was nothing. Nothing compared to his years of believing that God did not love him. He would not stay silent under the threat of death, because if the truth of God's love could not ring out from his heart, then he was dead already. 1518 was a dangerous year for the monk-turned-professor in electoral Saxony. There were people in power all around who wanted his head, and for good reason. But the danger they posed was nothing compared to the love of God which is poured out upon us through the grace of Christ Jesus our Lord, freeing us from all fear. Here we sit, 501 years after Martin Luther called for the gospel to be proclaimed freely over our lives. You have been freed, my friends. You have been freed from this notion that we have to somehow be good enough for God. Spoiler alert, this is impossible. You have been freed by God's grace to no longer live in fear of whether God loves you or not. God has loved you since before you were born, and God will love you long after you are gone from this earth. There is nothing that you can do or think or say to keep God from pouring down this love from on high in order to show you mercy, forgiveness, and grace when you need it most. Because God loves you with no strings attached, no conditions of any kind, you are absolutely free to love God in return. You are free to love the same God who used a humble monk in the backwoods of northeastern Germany to unleash the gospel on the world once again, 501 years ago. The same gospel we will never stop preaching, because it can never be contained, and it will always, always set us free. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.